Now, does anybody need one of these sheets that we've had? Anybody need one? We'll gladly pass it out. All right. Sure do. There's one for each of you. If anybody else needs one, we'll gladly give it to you. Chris, would you take this back to Brother Cook? Anybody else need one? All right. Very good. Then we'll go ahead and get started. What we looked at was the core of the chart, salvation by grace. And on each of them, we looked at all of these scriptures, some very familiar and common and others not so. And then we saw that this salvation that is by grace is nevertheless our responsibility to develop the salvation. Now, just like salvation is by grace, so the development of it is by grace. Amen. We put our effort into it, but our effort would not alone achieve it. It involves God working in us. And so that's the outer portion of the box. And then we went and we looked at each one of the boxes that is tied to it, emphasizing an important area involved in developing the salvation that God's given us. There are obviously many boxes that could be put to it. You see in the bottom right corner is a blank box. It's a personal block. It's where you could write in whatever it is that you maybe, for example, under the box that we're going to look at first today is service, the bottom left box. Maybe you feel that that's under control. You've got a handle on that in your spirit, your attitude, as well as in the use of your time, involvement in the local church. But then, you know, there's another area. Maybe it has to do with interpersonal relationships, whether within the family or maybe with neighbors, you know, but interpersonal relationships. Well, then that you can put in your personal block. But we looked at the idea of understanding, comprehending Bible truth. And it's important that we do that. as I've been stressing on Wednesday nights, just knowing the Bible is not enough. It's important that we live it. We are very deficient if we don't live what we know. And then prayer, and my, so much that can be said regarding prayer. And then discernment, along with understanding and comprehending the Bible, we need to have discernment regarding things that we meet in life and just not, you know, fall for anything and everything that comes along, but to discern it. And now today, we're going to look at service and witnessing, and we will conclude this chart with these two today. Let's pray. Father, if it were not for your grace, we would have no hope for eternal life in heaven. And yet, dear Father, if you were not there, it would not be heaven. And so, Father, thank you for loving us, saving us, and providing an opportunity to be with you through all of eternity. In Christ's name, amen. Now, let me get wired up and turned on. if you'll turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, we see our first reference to this matter of service that we need to give. Now, folks, a primary place of providing service is in the church, but it is not the only place where we can provide service. I do believe that it is the primary place, and anybody who is giving service to Christ needs to be doing so in the church. But you can provide service in your neighborhood.
okay, through some very common things like friendliness to neighbors. You find out about a neighbor who's having some kind of crisis or problem in their life. And so you can pray for them. You can let them know that you're praying for them, if it's a publicly known thing. Let's say they have children and one of their children broke an arm or is unusually sick, something beyond the flu or cold, you can let them know that. And this is offering a service within the neighborhood. You know, I was planting a tree here a few months ago, and a neighbor came walking down through the backyard, and he said, "Do you need a hand?" Well, now I could have gotten it done, okay? It wasn't, you know, too big for me to do, but I said, "Sure, be glad to help your help," and so he helped me. Now, if the role was reversed and I were doing that to him, you see, then it could be a form of service. Now, look, people say, "Well, that's not really service." Well, then what is it? Well, that's just something I'm doing. Other people do that. Unsaved people do that. Yeah, well, unsaved people work in churches too. Unsaved people teach Sunday school classes and sing in choirs. As a matter of fact, quite a few of them in what we would speak of as the liberal or modernistic churches where salvation isn't taught. It's what we do in our heart for God. Well, how do we do things for God? We do things for God by doing things for others. Think about it. There isn't anything that you do for God but what you do it through others. You say, "Well, we pray." What do you pray for? It's always involving others. Okay? And so service to God is through others. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace," and just like salvation started by grace, so this box of service, this area in our Christian life of serving others is through grace. "Let us have grace whereby we may," it is because of having grace whereby we may serve God. But there's another word there, isn't there? The word acceptably. "Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably." Just doing something is not enough. It must be by God's grace so that it can be acceptable. Now, outwardly, how can you or I tell if a person is doing it by grace? Or are they just doing it as we would identify in the flesh, or that is in their own human nature? You see, that alone is able to be determined by God. Now, many times the spirit of a person reveals that to us. But he tells us here, "Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Our confidence is in God. Please do not assume that because a person is confident, that they are self-motivated. Okay? They can be confident in what they're doing because they're doing what God wants them to do. And they are committed to serving Him. You know, just because a person is timid, an introvertish type of person, because they hesitate to speak up because when they're doing something, well, I don't know if really this is the way or if maybe somebody else should do it. Let me tell you something. That does not equal humility. What it might indicate, and I'm saying it might, doesn't always, it might indicate a lack of faith. It might indicate a lack of having the direction of God in their life. Now, if a person is a timid, introvertish type person, that doesn't mean when they have the will of God and the direction of God that they're automatically going to step up and say, well, let's get her done. No, they're still going to be a timid, introverted person. But they're going to do what they believe God would have for them to do. And they're going to leave it in the hands of God as far as what can be accomplished. And they need to, such an individual needs to subdue self every bit as much as the extrovert, outgoing individual who has no trouble expressing themselves. You know, we'd look at such a person, we'd say, well, they need to, you know, put that under God's control so they're not in control themselves. And that's true. But so is the other side of the coin with the other type of person. We must be careful that we do not confuse personality with spirituality. Spirituality will be lived through one's personality. And there are some things that when grace and God come in control, there are some things about a personality which can be adjusted, altered. But they're going to be what they are. Okay? Now, let me give you an example of how God works. None of you would consider Pat to be a extrovertish, in-your-face, this is what it ought to be, okay? You might think of that with me, but you won't think of that with her. And yet, she is an example of how God does work and how he is able to take care of an individual and how he's able to work. We've got things under control. Neil is coming as well. So for those of you that may not be aware of it, Ashley has a seizure condition, and what Neil is doing is taking her into the nursery where she can rest, relax, and see just, you know, if it's one that is going to pass or if she might need, they might need to go home. So that's what's taking place, and I share that in case you've not been here when she's had that condition before. Thank you, Sam, for responding. Of course, I saw Brother Ed Gilbert get up and leave, and he went down and got Neil because he saw what was happening. I saw what was happening with her face, but all right. So anyway, there was a time that I had to push Pat to do most of what she did. Within her heart, there was an absolute willingness and desire to do. But she was so lacking in anything of self-confidence, not fleshly self, just as a person, confidence. And so, compared to when we first went into ministry, when you know, I hate to use the term, but it describes, she was a wallflower. She was there. She was afraid to go places. Now, I'll tell you this. She still is fearful of going to some group settings because of of what she is inwardly, but submitting herself to God through 47 years of ministry, and, you know, time before that, but through years of ministry, God has developed her personality, okay, to where she is and what she is today. Now, the reason I say that is not to embarrass her, but to help you to see what I mean by the fact that whatever kind of personality you have, my personality would basically be considered like a bull in a china shop. Okay? Now, what I am today is so far different than what I was in our early years of ministry. In our early years of ministry, I didn't need anybody else's help. I knew everything. I knew the right way to go. And if you didn't believe it, I'm going to tell you. Okay? And in beginning years, I would describe myself, and I'm not trying to be hard on myself, but I would describe myself as doing everything the way you shouldn't do it. Okay, you want to know what to do? I can't always tell you what to do, but I can tell you what not to do. And so, but God's grace works. We're developing salvation. Okay, now I'm still that outspoken, outgoing kind of individual. She is still her own. Sit by, you know, I've said to her already, I've said, you know, thus, such and such. And she said, well, I'll pray about it and see if that's what the Lord wants. And I think to myself, what are you going to do that for? I know what you ought to do. Even saying it in that context is the stupidity of it, the ridiculousness of it. You know, because what I'm saying is, well, you don't have to pray. I know what to do. What could be more wrong than that? And so, but then again, she gets some mighty, mighty direct answers to prayer because she is truly waiting on what God would have her to do. And there's times where God would have her to do something that she'd really rather not do. Why? Because it's going to involve putting herself out there and in within other people's lives, but she'll do it because she wants to be used by God. So when it comes to the matter of service, he says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, I hesitate to use Pat or myself as illustration. But who else's life do I know? Like I know mine. If you want to meet with me and tell me all of your pros and cons, your pluses and your minuses, give me a description, okay? Then I'll use you sometime for an illustration. I don't see anybody raising their hand. And I understand that. But I say what I did just. I'm not in any way trying to put ourselves out there, but trying to get a little more specific in describing the kind of thing that I'm talking about when it comes to this matter of service, serving God acceptably. All right, now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. You're still in Hebrews. We're going to go to chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And here's the verse I want. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Those good works is a matter of service. Now, do you notice there's an important action, and it's an action, every action that I can think of has an attitude with it, In verse 24, let us consider one another. Consideration for another person when you are serving is essential. If we are not considerate of each other, we will say and do things that will be offensive, and it will tear down a relationship. You can tear down a relationship in one incident in about a minute of time that may have taken months and months to build up. And so this matter of let us consider one another, and it involves the matter of love and good works. Well, now you can see we got Ephesians 6 and Psalm 40. I'll let you look those up on your own, because I do indeed want to finish this lesson today. So we're going to move to the next box, witnessing. Witnessing is a very important thing. It's a matter that probably in 90% of people's lives is weak. And I use the term witnessing rather than soul winning. Now, I think soul winning is a good term. I don't think it's a wrong term.
Yep.
Okay? But our task is to sow the seed. Now, in the process of sowing the seed, we want to reap a harvest. We want to gather in the fruit of the seed that we've sown. But you can... not every time you witness are you going to be able to win someone to salvation. You can witness many, many, many more times than what you'll actually have the opportunity to lead someone to Christ. And the reason I say that is because a lot of people with a strong soul-winning emphasis, and I hesitate in saying this because I don't want in any way to be negative about soul-winning, but I want to be definitive about the matter. Because there are a lot of people that don't witness because they're not able to actually draw the net. Okay, they're not actually able to harvest the seed that they've sown. And another thing that's important, witnessing is an ongoing event and experience. But if you use a particular plan of salvation, made up usually of 5 to 7 verses or whatever number, you use that. And you meet somebody, whether like you're sitting at the mall on a bench and another person is sitting there and you strike up a conversation. Hi there, my name's Roger Hayne. And a lot of times you don't give your last name, you just say your first name. My name's Roger. And then it wouldn't be uncommon for Chris to say, well, I'm Chris. Oh, good. I'm waiting for my wife. Yeah, me too. Seems like we wait forever, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. You know, so you do that sort of thing. And then you look for an opening in that kind of conversation. Sometimes you can't find an opening. And depending on how you are, you wouldn't be able to just flat out say, hey, Chris, I was thinking, you know, something that's really important that I found in my life is, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Or another approach is, you know, God loves you. You aware of that, Chris? Oh, yeah, I remember that. You know, no Bible verses, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Yeah, I learned that when I was in Sunday school. You did good. Where'd you go to Sunday school? And he tells me the name of the church, and you try and engender a conversation. And by then his wife comes. You want to say, go back and shop some more. I'm not done. You've sown some seed. But you say, well, I'm not comfortable doing that sort of thing. All right, then how about we go this route? Hi, I'm Roger. What's your name?
Chris.
All right, Chris, good to meet you. I got something here in my pocket I'd like to give you, and sometime when you are up to it, I'd like you to read it. And then, you know, you hand out, and usually people will respond to take, okay? If you hold it back like this, they won't reach out. But if you reach out, I'd like you to take this to read. tells you about the Lord Jesus Christ. He did for me 25, 35, 5, whatever, years ago. He did that in my life, and I'd like you to have that to consider. Now, that's a witness. That's every bit as much of a witness as, let me show you these scriptures. You whip out your New Testament, and you read them down through, and you say, well, I wouldn't know what to do next. Well, we need to get prepared for that. We can be taught how to witness. Now, too many times, people will push a person or rush a person into praying what we call a sinner's prayer. And that's not always wise. There are some times where the soul winner can detect that this person is ready. I'm going to say most of the time, you have to just say, look, I'd appreciate if you'd read this. It's got my name and address in the back. If it doesn't, whip out a pen. You say, I don't carry a pen. Well, good night, start carrying one. You whip out a pen and you write your name and phone number. I'd like you to read this and give me a call if you have any questions. I'd be pleased. We could meet down at McDonald's and talk about it. Because a lot of times they don't want you in the house, you know. Jehovah's Witnesses come in the house. Mormons come in the house. They don't want you in the house. So you can offer, I can meet you. And you can say at your house or down at McDonald's, have a cup of coffee. And I'm less than a big spender, they'll pay for your coffee. Hey, you'll chuckle about it, you chuckle about it. And you're ending on a good, friendly term. Okay? Witnessing. Don't hesitate to witness. Over there, we have a track rack, quite a few tracks. You need to carry some. You're gonna have to train yourself to do that. And you're gonna have to remind yourself to do that. I use tracks. My wife uses tracks. But I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10, I have an opportunity, a situation, and where's the track?
Yeah.
In the car. You know, if I carry them in my pocket all the time, they get dog-eared. That doesn't look good. And so we need to train ourselves to take the track from the car when we're going into, or a couple of them, when we're going into Walmart, put them fresh in our pocket. You say, well, I've done that already, and then I come out and I never gave them away. Well, you couldn't give them if you didn't have them. Okay? And you know, this is something we have to work at. Well, this just doesn't come natural to me. What in the Christian life does come natural?
Yes.
How about praying? You just naturally do that? How about Bible reading? You just naturally read the Bible all the time? No, we have to teach ourselves. We have to train ourselves. What about cooking? This is for the ladies. Some men cook, but the ladies, you know, do you just naturally, I mean, ever since you were born, you just naturally cooked. You didn't have to learn anything about cooking. I mean, you were, you know, 3 years old and you went in there and made a tremendous omelet. No, you had to watch your mama. And then mama, even if she was patient, she would teach you how to crack an egg. She would teach you how to fry an egg. And you had to learn. And so we have to learn about witnessing. The bottom line is, most of us just don't want to bother. We don't want to bother. Or you have those who bother and shouldn't. They're the kind of person that's in your face, and they're going to condemn you to hell, you know, and that's, don't use that line. When you die, you want to go to heaven or hell. Well, where do you think a person wants to go? Well, I want to go to hell. Well, I've met that. And I've had some people say, well, I'm going to go to hell. That's where all my friends are. We're going to party. You know, and you try to reason with them, but There's no reasoning with that sort of thing. But you still try, because you never know what words you might share that will keep coming back to that person. So witnessing is something we need to do. And I've got several scriptures listed there. And I dealt with the soul winning aspect. It's a valid term. It's a valid way to approach it. But if you think about witnessing, everybody can witness. And the easiest witness that I know of is to share your testimony.
Amen.
You see, there's three different levels that I've just spoken of. A testimony is when you tell other people about what God did for you. And then witnessing is when you tell other people what Jesus Christ has done for them. And then soul winning is when you endeavor to draw the net, reap the harvest, when you endeavor to actually lead a person to Jesus Christ. And depending on the setting, if it's a neighbor, you have time to work with them, build a relationship, a co-worker, a family member. You build a relationship, you build a rapport. This is sometimes called lifestyle evangelism. And in fundamentalism, we don't use that term a lot because it has been misused. But if they can see in your life a way of living that is better than what they have, you can use that to an advantage. Now, you have to sow the word. The weak part of true lifestyle evangelism is you just live your life and let people see Christ in you. But if they don't have the word, what's the scripture? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so you can do it. And you start small. You start small and you grow. You can start by giving out gospel tracts. So be sure that you take some along. Pastor, that concludes our Sunday school lesson.